time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Let me read you a few headlines, friends. NBC News says, Trump's right that there's a border crisis, all right, but he's making it worse. Fox News says, Trump visits southern border amid growing crisis, declaring that our country is full. The New York Times says, Trump presses his argument of a border crisis in the California visit. The Financial Times, Donald Trump's claims of U.S.-Mexico border crisis in charts. The White House comes out and they have a piece out. An overwhelming surge in illegal immigration is worsening the crisis at the border. Okay. Politico says, yes, there's a crisis on the border, and it's Donald Trump's fault. And it goes on and on and on. You'll get the theme here with the media. I think it's interesting. Just again, as I tell you all the time, friends, you just have to read the headlines. You don't have to waste your time with the articles because it's all garbage. But you get the sense of what I'm talking about. Oh, and I got to read you this one from Fox News as well. Obama-era border chief warns of unprecedented border crisis. Interesting that the Obama border chief came out with that, huh? It's all over the place. And it's fascinating how messed up the media is in these kinds of discussions. Friends, today we're going to take on this immigration problem. We're going to do a deep dive on it and try to bring a little more clarity to what the real problems are. As you know, this week, President Trump visited the border along with Department of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, and meeting with the ICE agents and Border Patrol and Homeland Security and so on and so forth. And, you know, you see the images, you see what's going on, and you also see the lies and deceit. So, and there's plenty of that happening. All right. Here's where I want to start. Here's a tweet I seen just hours ago here from at twobarrels48 is their handle. And they say, where in the hell is our military? Why didn't you send enough to cover all of the border? You have the authority, speaking to Mr. President here, obviously, order more troops. Please stop this madness. It's destroying our great country. All right, Lieutenant Joe Panguero, I want to start with you on that. So what about that? Where the hell is the military, as this tweeter says here? And what's going on down there? Where's the authority in all this?
Well, Malcolm, I think it's pretty clear to me as I watch this entire mess unfold, not just the border thing, but how our politicians are treating the president. He has to act very carefully in everything he does. He can't just do what he needs to do because there will be a backlash, not just from his Democrat opponents, but also from the hate Trump Republicans. If he were to put the military down there, I think half of the country would applaud that move because that's the purpose of the military, to protect us and protect our borders.
Yeah.
But I think there would be such an outcry from the people on the left, the media would go crazy. And unfortunately, we can dislike that as much as we want. That is a major component of this entire mess. And then you would have the Republicans who are looking for any reason to show how great they are and how much compassion they have and how much they hate Trump as well to get their bona fides to say this is the wrong thing. He's now gone too far. And that's what they would use to attack him in other ways, whether that be to further an impeachment scheme or to deny him other things he's looking to do. It's a very strange place that we are in when the United States is really kind of an independent guy, even though he was a Republican, that the Republicans are not backing him up.
Right.
Where are our
right.
commercials? Where are right. our people screaming and hollering, saying, let's do the right thing?
Right.
We don't see any of it.
Well, Joe, we call that the deep state, more or less. And you just pointed it out perfectly in your analysis. Here's the thing, Ava. I want you to pick up on this point here a moment, please. Here's what I want to say. I had a conversation just a couple of days ago with somebody very well known in the nation. And we were speaking about Ann Coulter specifically, by the way, okay? And why she has this divisiveness in her fight with the president. When she supported him initially, she doesn't now. And the point of Joe just bringing that up is on my mind. And here's what it is that I just want people to grasp and understand. You see, the president, again, as everybody should know, he's not a king or a dictator. That's not how it works here. And so there's a system. You have to work within that system. And so, as Joe just points out, there's a system in play here. And so the president can only do so much. But that's the big question. And people like Ann come out, and the reason I bring her up is she says, well, it's not acceptable. He needs to do X, which is close the border, or he needs to build that darn wall no matter what. So my question is, how much power do you think the president really has to get this done? Because as Joe just points out, there are limitations within this thing, and he doesn't even have the support of his own party because they all want this open border thing, it seems, Ava.
When you look at the polling, okay, this is the number one issue among the American people. They are overwhelmingly in support of ramping back that border, of securing that border. You look at all the polls from all different places, okay? This is Trump's issue. This is one of the reasons he was elected to begin with. And this is his hue and cry for the 2020 election. Now, whether or not he has the power to do that, he could use his pen and his phone, just like somebody else did. And, you know, and I know it wouldn't, it, like Joe said, there would be, you know, half of the country would be weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. But you know what? The president's major role, his actual first duty, his oath of office, is to protect and defend this country. He is the commander in chief. He has extraordinary power. Our entire border, southern border, was shut down, or all immigration was shut down in 1925. And we had no immigrants coming, very few, until 1965. Think about that for a second.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's an
interesting a long
point.
Time. And you know why that happened? Yeah. It's because at the turn of the century, we had so many people coming through Ellis Island. And we finally had to stem the tide so that all the legal immigrants, I should say legal, came here and they could assimilate. We needed that time for them to assimilate.
So people were coming legally then, as you say, and then that's when assimilation did work. Today, they want to bring their own country with them. You see, Ava, you know?
And major they problem.
Oh, my God. Yep. It's all over the place. They want to set up their own countries in our states and in our areas. It's absolutely insane is what it is. When you think about this, and this is the undoing of the nation is what we're going to speak about. Karen Schoen, all right, straight question here. Now, I don't know what you'll answer on this, but I'm curious. So you're, again, to remind people, you're an educator, a teacher. Tell me this. Should, based on what you know, should the president close the border?
I believe that he should. Problem that we have is that everything that he does is connected to everything else that he does. So by closing the border, he's going to destroy a portion of the economy, which will give the opposition clout, point fingers at him. And with the loss of the economy, he will risk the 2020 election. So I believe he's sitting on a fence, or there's a fine line and it goes one way or the other, which is why he came up with the idea of giving Mexico the opportunity to make it right. Border should be closed, but he's sitting and looking at the Chamber of Commerce, he's sitting and looking at the Business Roundtable and all of the other criminals that want a one world government with a new world order and open borders. So he has to weigh that in opposition to what he's doing. It was very interesting to me that the cry from the left was, oh my goodness, if he shuts the border, we won't have avocados. If we took a look at what they have done to California, which was our fruit basket for America, using the environment, using endangered species, they closed the farming and forced us to buy our fruits and produce overseas. We have plenty of land here that we produce our own, but the regulations make it so that it becomes almost impossible for the farmer to farm. So then we become reliant on these other countries who are shipping things here. Now, if the border is closed, that we lose about, I think it was about 80% of the produce that we are getting from overseas. So each of these things depends on something else, which depends on something else. Now, also, you mentioned, rightly so, assimilation. When you are preaching and teaching diversity, you can't have assimilation. They're opposite. So we have the, if we don't pay attention to the schools and right that ship, then we're not going to be able to assimilate anybody. Yeah. But in answer to that, I still believe he should close the border and say,
okay,
we've got to assimilate these people. We've got to find out who's here. We've got to pay. They're up to about 50 million people are living in America illegally.
Yeah, that we know of. Yeah, that we know of. Yeah. You know, it's very accurate, Karen, very accurate. You can see the aspect of what I think is interesting. You know, as Karen points out, it's a game. The takeaway I want you to understand, people, is it's a game that's being played. So when people come out and people like, and I use that as a, forgive me, but the Ann Coulters, and with all due respect to her, but, and they come out, well, he should just do X. You see, there are always ramifications for doing X. That's what I want to point out to you. Now, sometimes X becomes a must because, you know, it's gone down that road. But this is a game you have to play, and it's a game that Trump has had to figure out. Jim McKay, it really is a game, because politically speaking, Trump, you know, again, being the non-politician, had to learn how deep the swamp was. He knew there was a swamp. I mean, that was clear from the onset when he came down the escalator. He knew well before this. But clearly, he's had to figure it out. And you know, this game that's being played, the ramifications for doing X. And so I wonder, what I'm guessing, Jim, is there's got to be a tipping point with all of this. As we all sit by and we look at the border down there and we see what's happening, and as this growing crisis continues on, there has to be a tipping point. When do you think that happens, Jim?
I think it happened in the last few weeks, and we now see buses, caravans of motor coaches like you would take to a football game, not broken down old school buses, bringing people in days now from the southern border of Mexico all the way up to Tijuana and to Texas border crossings. It's changed. The game has changed from a few hundred people coming to the border to thousands coming to the border. It's being financed externally. They're feeding these people, that, like I say, they're driving them in luxury motor coaches, folks. It's not like a bunch of people get together on Saturday afternoon in Guatemala and say, hey, why don't 20,000 of us go to America today because we have nothing better to do? It's an organized invasion. So Trump is between a rock and a hard place. Using military against civilians of any nation for any reason is a really difficult thing to do. It becomes close to war. Military is there for war, for invasion. And this is an invasion. So I think his best alternative is to close the border. Economically, how much would that hurt? Not as much as the media says. Biggest thing we traffic between the United States and Mexico in value is automotive cars and parts.
Or drugs.
Well, and drugs, thank God we shut those off. But dealers right now are sitting on 120 days of inventory. Mm-hmm. We just went out to buy a new car, and they're giving them away because right. They have so many. Yeah, I think the auto industry would welcome a shutdown for a while.
Well, the point now, when we pick up here in a moment here, the organization, Jim, you're so right when you say 20, 30,000 people just don't gather on the street corner and say, hey, let's do this. Let's take a walk north and see what we can do. This is obviously the word. Let's think about this. Organized people, organized. Clearly, these are organized, and somebody is behind all of this. It's funny how we never really see who's got the strings on the puppet, do we? You know, and this is a classic case of that, really clearly. That's a good point we got to pick up on in just a moment here. A lot of this is just being spun. It's a complete false narrative. And the crisis is growing. In the meantime, you know, I hear the warning signs in my ears from immigration experts who have warned us years back of what's happening to this country. Here in the voices of Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro. He's a retired police lieutenant, director of school security, and a master trainer, and the host of Chasing Justice here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. That show plays 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time weekdays, friends, on the network. You can catch it. And the Lieutenant Joe talks with the neighborhood guys up there. If you ever wanted to hear real conversation from real people, that's the show to tune into. It is most enlightening. Lieutenant Joe is also a columnist and has some really terrific writings on the platform as well. Speaking about terrific, Karen Schoen. She's an educator, dean, a retired teacher. She's an activist focused on absolutely saving America. Karen's write-ins or columns are not to be missed. I can't say it to you any clearer than that. They are not to be missed. They get circulated a lot. They're read plenty. And people, now, of course, her question always to me is, are people acting on them, though, Malcolm? She wants results. She wants people acting on this stuff. And rightfully so. Also, Ava Armstrong is a political commentator, radio personality, producer here at America Out Loud. Ava is a terrific author. She writes, again, about real people, military law enforcement, farmers, people out on the front lines, friends. Her books are on Amazon or in the America Out Loud bookstore. Jim McKay is here. He's a political analyst, commentator, and radio producer here at Viewpoint. Jim has a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, and pharmaceuticals. And Jim is just a smart guy or a smart ass. It depends what day of the week it is, right, Jim? So, okay. All right, that's the panel here. The conversation is extraordinary. Well, the people are absolutely amazing. And I have to tell you, America Out Loud is really got a powerful message. How do I know that? And how do you know that? Just go to the front page, AmericaOutLoud.com. Doesn't matter what time of the day or what day you go there, but go to the front page and I assure you, in fact, I guarantee you, there is amazing conversation going on there. Things that will enlighten you. Things you can watch, things you can listen to, things you can read, and things that you can be informed. The point of this whole program, friends, the point of everything we do is to inform the populace. And actually, it's to inform we the people. Stay right there as Viewpoint rolls on.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Our job here is to point out what may not be so obvious to you, because you may not think of it in these terms, and it sounds a little weird almost sounds like a conspiracy, if you will. Because how do you get that many people together on a consistent basis and get them all the way from Guatemala, Honduras, or close to the bottom of hell, and all the way up to the United States of America, you know, where the flag flies free and where we offer free everything to everybody. People out there, we the people, can work your tails off to feed it to everybody else. Isn't that a nice system, everybody? Do you want to work all week long and then give the money to people who are doing nothing? Well, then wake up! And for you people who sit there and say, well, it's all about humanity. Yeah, yeah. So we'll all go to hell in a handbasket. All right, Jim McKay, let's talk about who's organizing this thing. I mean, somebody's got to be doing this. I mean, who is it? The Pied Piper? Is the Pied Piper loose again? What's going on?
Well, if you peel back the first layer of who's organizing it, it looks like they're charitable organizations, nonprofits, most of them based in the United States. So it's our own money funding these immigrations, these masses of people coming up from Guatemala and Honduras in El Salvador. I mean, we have almost half of the nation of El Salvador living here now.
And that's including the gangs, Jim, the MS-13 gangs. Well, that's where they're all coming from, right?
It's anybody and everybody who's getting on these buses, on the top of these trains and everything. And if you look at the videos, you can see the Mexican police escorting them up the highways to make sure they have a clear path.
Unbelievable.
But if you go one layer down, it's who's funding and who's putting the money into the quote-unquote non-taxable charitable organizations, it gets to be more of the big money that's behind the political left.
So where's the big money coming from? Who's it? You're saying it's the political left?
A lot of it's coming still out of Soros's pockets. But they're very careful.
How old is Soros? Does anybody know how old he is?
I think he's 80.
Yeah.
I thought he was like 130 by now. We've been talking about him since I was in diapers. I mean, come on, kids.
They're as hard as kids are just as bad.
He has a son that's as bad, if not worse.
They're as bad as he is. They have one goal, and that goal is destroy America. And using open borders is one of the ways that they do it. Jim was right. The NGOs, non-government organizations, the nonprofits, this is all about the money. They're being paid off to pick up these people. Mm-hmm. They bring them back to their, quote, hometown. They take care of them mm-hmm. and place them on government stipends, whatever. But they wouldn't be doing this if they weren't paid. And they are paid handsomely per individual. So it behooves them to put this together. Yeah. Originally, Obama gave the United Nations the ability to dictate how many, quote, refugees will be coming into America. Right. And that was how he did that. They have an organization that determines, and of course, America's is the think scale of how many. And it's interesting when you ask how many people should America take, there's never an answer. They
no.
don't have one.
No, you're right. I never hear an answer to that question. You know what else, Karen? That all goes, when you just mentioned Obama, that all went according to his plan to transform America. Exactly. I mean, and this was his words. You don't have to make this stuff up, Karen. I mean, this was the transformation of America when he had those big speeches and he was going to hope and change the nation. Remember back in 07, 08, you know, right?
Exactly. They follow a process created by Cloward and Piven.
Yeah.
And they have discovered that if you overwhelm the system, it eventually will fall apart. And
right.
that's exactly what they have done.
Master plan.
That's exactly what they're doing. And that's the master plan,
all right.
so to speak.
All right, I want to go to Lieutenant Joe Panguero a moment here. Joe, I want you to take a moment now. I want you to speak to folks a moment, please. From your experience as a law enforcement guy, a guy who has seen it all. I mean, again, your work and your career has been amazing, but also your love and patriotism for the nation is even more amazing. And your concern, like you wrote that piece not too long ago here shortly about your great-grandchildren and the country we were leaving. But I want you to talk next, Joe, about the impact, how should people understand the law enforcement effect, the impact that's going to happen to people when we're talking, you know, we throw the words around a lot like drugs and gangs, and we hear these pieces like Karen's saying, it becomes part of the vernacular. We just keep talking about it and talking about it. And it's almost like part of a way of life, Joe. We don't even think it's unusual anymore when this stuff is happening. Like she said, overload the system, drive people berserk. They don't even know what the hell is going on at that point. So, Joe, from a law enforcement standpoint, what are the real dangers and what do we got to do?
Well, I think we have to look, Malcolm, at the bigger picture that involves, you know, law enforcement is one aspect of our lives. It is the rule of law that separates us from tyrannical type of a government. We have the rule of law, but we're seeing this transformation that President Obama said he wanted to take place. We're seeing these NGOs use immigration as a tool. And when law enforcement is defeated, when we see the guys and girls down on the border saying, this is a crisis, why are we even questioning that any further? What is the purpose behind that? And that's the bigger picture. So if law enforcement fails, that is literally the line between all of us trying to live our lives and complete and total chaos. We have this illusion that this country could never fall apart because it's not part of our experience. America is always, we were separated by an ocean in the world wars. We've been separated really from everything else that went on. And we have this prosperity and this growth and this wonderful American life that most of us are living. And we don't think that that can come to an end or be disrupted.
Well, Joe, we take it for granted, right? Is what you're saying.
We absolutely take it for granted. And when you knock out law enforcement, when we fail to live by the rule of law anymore and follow law, when we just disregard it, that is the linchpin that holds the civil society together. Without that following of the law, then I can just do whatever I feel like doing. Because you know what? Maybe if there's enough people who think it's okay that I do it, then the law means nothing. And once you start to dilute that, you are heading down a road that you will not be able to recover from. It will become some kind of a different place. And I think we all see that happening in front of our very eyes.
That's why there's a fervor out there, Joe. That's why there's a fervor. People are really juiced up on this thing. Yeah, you can feel it, sense it.
And I wrote in that article that it was like the frog sitting in the water as it starts to boil.
Yeah.
We're all starting to feel the heat now. and we're seeing that it could be slipping through our fingers.
Exactly.
What are we doing about it? Why don't we have, why aren't our politicians, both sides of the aisle, not standing up and screaming to protect this country?
Yeah.
Why is there even a question about
that? Joe, I got to say to you, brother, let me talk to you brother to brother here a moment, and then I want to get Ava to jump in here. And I want to say this to you, that I woke up the other day with a mission so in front of me, it hit me just like a message that was on my mind first thing in the morning when my eyes open, of the importance of what we were doing here on America Out Loud and what we're doing across the nation, and why patriots are all on high alert, as you just say here. Why Americans? Why, you know, why people who love this nation, our country, and our Constitution, and what we stand for, and the uniqueness of this shiny city on a hill, what this all meant here. They have totally dismantled the respect for law enforcement across the country. The young folks and the new generation have no respect whatsoever for what's going on in the rule of law. Okay, so that's been accomplished. Now we take, and what Karen says, we overrun the border, and we just have them come in by the tens of thousands. And these are people who have absolutely nothing. They barely have the clothes on their back, all kinds of things. And we're going to talk about on the program today, just ahead again, the diseases that are problematic, these people that are very ill. We're going to talk about the drug piece of it as well. And a lot of these conditions of what kind of a nation we want. But Ava, pick it up there with this this crisis again of, you know, the lack of law enforcement, the overriding of the borders right now, and also the people who are financing this. And how could anybody with two brain cells that connect here, Ava, how could anybody deny this?
I'll even freak you out more, okay?
Okay,
oh, I was watching Lawrence Jones on Fox News. He was on the border for a couple of nights with the Border Patrol, and I got a lot of very interesting information from that segment.
Really?
For every one person that they catch on the border, there are three others that make it through undetected. These guys are working so shorthanded. It's just amazing to me. What happened with President Obama? He did his beer summit so that he was signaling that everyone was now against law enforcement. He actually changed a lot of rules of engagement for law enforcement. Joe's probably very familiar with this. And this brought on many of the things that happened thereafter, the Fergusons, the, you know, all of the different situations, the, you know, hands up, don't shoot, and all these myths, these urban myths, okay? And so what he did is he set the table for people to just be unlawful, and there was no consequence for it. And cities burned, and taxpayers are the ones that end up taking care of all this. Right now, there's a mass exodus from all urban areas in the United States. I can tell you this. I'm studying it. And it's amazing. Where are these people going? And why are they leaving? Well, they're leaving because the taxes are so high. And taking care of all these illegal people, the crime rate is incredible. So in these caravans that come, you have to also understand there are many gang members, and they even dress so that they look normal, and they put makeup on their tattoos so that they can pass through. And they come to America with a very planned effort to distribute drugs, illegal drugs. So this is all going on as well. The people that are coming through have no skills. They can't speak English. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are we going to do with that group?
And then Ava, what they're doing then on what you're saying then, and then the media gets involved and they say, oh, well, look at the human condition. How can you be so cruel to these people, Ava? I mean, right?
Well, the cruelty. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to say this is unique when we look at the world. America, they don't have to use force against us, although they are. They're using our emotions. How do you argue with a father and a mother who want to bring their children to a better place? I would do it.
Exactly.
So they use that against us. And of course, if you are having a problem with this illegal immigration, then you must hate. When they use that, the sympathetic figure of these people who want to come to a better life. We look at the sympathetic figures of innocent people being killed by police. They use that to play against us. And as human beings and as Americans especially, we are very compassionate, very loving. And I think a lot of people then start to question, well, am I really against them for some other reason other than it doesn't make sense? Why can't I let them come? because it overwhelms us. And there's the whole idea is to change our system and the way America works, get to our money, get to our power, and change who we are as a nation.
Yeah.
We don't see that when we're sitting in our living room having dinner every day.
Exactly, yeah. This is the theme and the really big point, friends, I want you to take away from this conversation. It's really a call to order. It's a call to action. It's a call to order first, and then a call to action. This is why people are so revved up on this and why it's so important. It is a major problem. It's the biggest crisis that we have and could have. You know what's ironic about a lot of this is that President Trump seen a lot of this coming. When he was candidate Trump, Ava, and came down that escalator, you know, it's funny, it's ironic how the wall was, he realized he had seen how this was becoming a problem, but who could have foreseen at that point the problems we would have today? Why is it so juiced up there, the border? Why, I mean, other than, I guess we're at the tipping point and they're just pushing more, Ava, or what is it exactly as to why?
I think if you spoke to the man on the street, mm-hmm. the Joe Pangaros, the, you know, the people that are raising their families, good, hardworking American middle-class people. Mm-hmm. And if you learned about the day-to-day crime mm-hmm. and danger that they're in constantly, the auto accidents because of illegal aliens, the drugs, the all the different things that are happening in our mm-hmm. neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to raise our children in this environment, and it's almost impossible. I think President Trump saw that. He's a guy that walks among the people. Mm-hmm. He's not one of these presidents that's way, way up there in a high tower. Mm-hmm. He's one of us, and that's why people love him so much.
He is
us. And he speaks for us, and this is what we need.
And that's the attraction to a lot of those people, very clearly. All right, listen, let's talk about this next important point. Jim, I want to have you comment on this here. So, all right, so basically, let's understand. So when we're talking about, okay, should he close the border? Should he not close the border? So on and so forth. Okay, the president is being more than challenged. He's being taken to task here for anything he does. I read you the headlines when we started the program here, friends, and you sense what I'm talking about. Without a doubt, he's being handcuffed. Now, he's pushing as hard as he can push. People question me sometimes, well, why is the evangelical crowd so in love with the president? Well, just do the math, people, because without this man in office, where would we be right now? I mean, we would have turned the corner already to hell in a handbasket if the other one had gotten in, and you know that fully. Jim, let's talk about the courts a moment and give me some perspective, please. Give listeners a perspective on the fact that he's not being supported with Congress. Congress doesn't want to write legislation. And keep in mind, this immigration problem should not even exist right this moment, people. This should have been handled back when Paul Ryan was in the speakership, you see? Yeah, yeah. Or even when John Bonehead was there, you see? We didn't have Bonehead or Doofus Ryan, Paul Ryan. My mind just keeps slipping up there, Jim. Forgive me. But, you know, none of those cats fixed anything about immigration either. And here we are, we have a full-blown crisis. And of course, the GOP had the ticket as well at one time, and they still didn't fix it because they're part of the problem. But how do we deal with the courts? Because the Ninth Circuit is always playing ping pong with the president, Jim.
Yeah, well, the way you deal with what Obama did, you know, Trump tried to set aside his executive orders, and the Ninth Circuit came out and said, nope, can't do that with DACA. Nope, can't do that with catch and release. Can't do that with families seeking asylum. What he can do, and he just did it recently with the transgenders in the military in January, and he can go to the Supreme Court and ask for an injunction to stay the actions of lower courts, like the Ninth Circuit, not to reverse the rulings or any, but say, okay, we have a law in place. The Ninth Circuit would not let the president change that executive order. And it's being appealed to the higher courts, now the Supreme Court. Eventually, he'll get there in a year. But he can go to one Supreme Court justice and say, I want an injunction to set aside this interim order by the Ninth Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
He did this successfully a couple months ago, like I said,
remember,
with the transgender in the military.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to do that right now with these orders. Sessions never would step up and do anything like this.
No.
I hope Barr, as soon as he puts aside this Mueller thing, gets active in this battle and goes to the court and says, look, we need to set aside these rulings. The Ninth Circuit, the Supreme Court says they're not going to hear these issues in the current session of the Supreme Court. They're going to put it off into 2019-2020 session.
Right.
It doesn't start till October. So that's an action he has under the courts.
We need a full court press. And I like the way you say with Barr, if he'll get into the game, of course, now that they've had, again, just do the math. Back to the big picture, people. What was the purpose of Mueller and the whole Russia thing? Just another distraction. If we can keep everybody confused, dumb, and stupid, and worried about things that don't matter, well, that's perfect. And then the media. And you know, perfect case of that, Karen, this past week was when the Mueller report came out and they all, you know, had their heart attacks and what have you. How dare Mueller do that and not find some crime there? We don't like this man anymore, which is what always happens. They played that game with Comey previously, clearly. And these are all cats with the same order here. But, you know, we look at all of that, Karen, and now they continue these, I call the shell game. You never know which shell the ball is under. It just keep people dumb and stupid. And then you can really run rogue over the whole thing, Karen. And you keep pointing that out. And how can we fix this problem?
First of all, we really have to get elected people that have our same values and stop electing the same morons back and over and over and over again. And we also should understand that these people don't have a problem. They live behind their gated communities and they could care less. They've got their low income, they've got their low wage nannies and lawn maintenance people and handymen, and they don't care about the rest of us. So that's one thing. I'll answer that question, but I just wanted to make a comment on the judges. This past week, Mitch McConnell, I guess he decided to work for America. And he put in place the, quote, nuclear option, whereby the lower court justices will now be able to be selected on
That's
a
right.
51 vote so that the lower courts can be filled with some of President Trump's conservative justices. The other thing is the justices, Trump actually has it in his power to say to the circuit judges, I'm not paying attention to you. You're in the Ninth Circuit. This is federal. Really, you're supposed to be dictating about the Ninth Circuit, and you can't make an edict that says this is going to affect the whole entire country. Mm-hmm. So he has that right to do that. Unfortunately, I believe that he does not have the right advisors, and that then creates a bigger problem because some of his advisors are swamp dwellers.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're surrounded by swamp dwellers and your advisors are part of the swamp, it makes it very difficult to get anything through.
Okay.
So he's got to be pulling strings all over the
place. He's taken on the entire establishment, Karen, is what's happening. And you're right.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are questioning, Joe, whether he has the power to do what Karen just said, these things that some people would say. Of course, what they're going to do, and they're going to complain about him no matter what he does, Joe. So I guess maybe the answer is maybe he just does it anyways, because they're going to complain a bitch no matter what he does, correct?
Well, this is one of the things that you need to look at. Look at our friends on the left and how they overwhelm systems. Maybe it's time for the president. Now, the whole idea, and I like President Trump because he is that guy of the people. Mm-hmm. He's trying to do things that we want him to do. But he is also concerned with legacy and getting reelected. If he was to just come out and say, you know, damn the next election, when I get elected or not, I'm packing these courts. I'm going to overwhelm these systems, and we are going to appoint the right people. We're going to put the law enforcement on the border. We're going to bring the military into help. We're closing the border. Do everything he needs to do. This would cause a lot of problems.
Well, Joe, but he's already doing that, isn't he?
For years.
Joe, he's already doing what you just said. I don't understand what you mean.
I would like to see him close the border. I would like to see him not worry about reelection. I would like to see him go to the 10th power, just like you're talking about, and do it, and damn the next election, whether he gets reelected or not. I think he'd be overwhelmingly reelected if he did this.
Interesting. Ava, do you think that's on his mind so much, the next election, as Joe says, or do you think he's doing everything he can do, or should he do more?
I think he would prefer to nibble around the edges and try to get his way, you know, that way.
I see.
He has made astronomical or, you know, huge attempts to attack this. He's tried to defund sanctuary cities. He's gone at this from many different angles. The courts continually stop him. I agree with Jim. I think he needs to go right to the Supreme Court and just you know, annihilate these laws that are stopping him from protecting our country.
Yeah. Listen, big thank you here to Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro, Karen Schoen, Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay. Stay right there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
You know, again, as I read you at the top of the program, a lot of the false headlines out there that are all over the place. I mean, I read you all of those, and those were real headlines, by the way. It tells you how screwed up we are as a nation if you're listening to the media, because it's all corrupt. We are our own enemy here, people. We don't need anyone else to be our enemy. We do a hell of a job ourselves. All right, I want to bring on here three fascinating folks here, and let's open this up for a conversation here. Jules Jones joins us. She's a political activist, a Twitter influencer, on and that 200 crazy hit list we talked about, remember, from Politico and all the other corrupt folks involved there. She's an entrepreneur, small business owner. Perfect. That's exactly what is perfect for this conversation. And then I would love you to meet for the first time. I love this name. Deplorable Dave. I've never had a deplorable, somebody who called, well, we have deplorables on here, a lot of them, but somebody who used it in their name, Dave, that's kind of cool. So Deplorable Dave, meet Malcolm in the Middle here, buddy. So hey, Dave is a constitutional conservative libertarian. He's the founder of PatriotsRise.org. We all need to check that out. It's a grassroots activist group dedicated to giving people the courage, the voice, to rise up against the criminal, tyrannical government of California, sadly. And of course, you can stretch that. It's even more than just California, clearly, people here. And joining us also is AM. She's a constitutional centrist. You remember hearing her on the program before. She's a political advocate, again, Twitter influencer out there doing a lot of cool things. But she worked 30 years working on Wall Street as a certified financial planner and investment advisor. And so you get a good cross section of who we're talking to here and what's going on here. So let's talk a moment here about the border. And one of the big dangers as we turn this on, people, is going to be that there's been a little light coverage on it, but not a lot, is the diseases. I'm hearing the word epidemic, but measles, you got new strains of polio, you have all kinds of things that are happening on mumps, chickenpox, rubella, all these kinds of things. A lot of these people are very, very sick, and not to mention the healthcare aspect of this. How much of that is being focused on? Dave, what are you hearing about all this, Dave, with the disease part of the program? And are Californians worried about that?
Yeah, Californians are worried about it, but we're not hearing a whole lot in the news. Polio, diphtheria, tuberculosis, malaria, scabies, dengue, Zika. Wow. You know, and I'm reading this. This is a Washington Times article.
So how much of a danger are all of these, the health risk of this border being exposed like this, Jules?
Those are the ones that we know the names of. Let's talk about the things we don't know that's coming in here, that we don't know how to treat. I mean, we don't know who these people are. We don't have their backgrounds. They're not only coming right through the port of entry. Mm-hmm. They're going all over the place. I mean, they're flying in, they're getting into our country. We have no idea where they come from, who they are, what their background is, and all of a sudden they're on our soil.
Once they're on the soil, Jules, once they put a foot on the soil, they're in.
they're in. So, I mean, you can catch it, you know, walking down the street. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, I live in Hollywood, and I'm very proud of Hollywood, other than the fact that it's turned into a tent city. And I was told the other day, make sure you wear, you know, long pants and jeans because you don't want to get bitten by a flea. Now, that doesn't make you feel very good, you know, that may, you know, carry a disease. So we don't really know what all they have, what is going on.
Yeah, yeah. And there's more and more and more of this being exposed clearly throughout that entire region where we're not really aware. You know, the thing about that comes to my mind is compassion. Now, AM, what the left uses a lot of and what the media uses, they would say to Jules, and listening to what she just said, they would say, come on, Jules, Dave, where's your compassion as a human being? In fact, the Pope would even say that, not that he's got a lot of room to speak about, but they all use that against people who want to protect the borders because these people have needs and you're supposed to have compassion. So where's the tipping point on that compassion, AM?
Well, the tipping point are our children. Who is going to contact these diseases first? It's our children, because it's in the schools. And our children don't have the immunity. The children that's coming in here to this country, many of them have immunity to some of these diseases, but we don't. It's like killing off the natives again, because they're exposed to things that no longer are in this country. And it's our children, our young children in the schools, and our elderly. So I have compassion, but I don't want our children exposed to this. And men, don't forget, mumps.
Everybody is
sterilized. That's a side effect of mumps. If a young male catches the mumps,
right.
So there's one thing in being empathetic and helping these people without exposing and destroying our own country and the future of our children.
Right. Well, listen, the president came out and he said he was going to cut off the aid we give these countries, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, etc. And back to the compassion, because, you know, again, America is a very given country. We're a very given nation and the people. I mean, it's the people's money. It's the taxpayers. It's the taxpayers' money. It's not the government. They're not a capitalist. They don't make money. They just spend money recklessly at that, I will add. So think about it, friends. America being a compassionate country, that's normally what happens. Now, when the president says to cut that back, it's because they're not helping out, I guess, with Poland controlling these caravans. You know, we spoke in the earlier segment about the organization of these caravans. It's not coincidental that 20, 30, 40,000 people are gathering in these, you know, you just don't get that kind of a group to gather at the local street corner and then to go thousands of miles north. Obviously, there's organization behind all this. So then you would ask yourself, people, well, but why would they do this? Like, okay, so, all right, who's organizing this? We talked about that, but like, why would they do this? Don't they love America? Or, I mean, come on. I mean, they're killing us here. And then they do all this fighting back and forth. And then you wonder, well, what's the root cause? What do they gain by this? What does the far left socialist Marxist lunatics gain by this? Well, they gain exactly what we're calling them. And they gain votes. Let's talk about the voting part of this. Now, it's estimated that upwards of 25 million illegals, people say it's actually twice that, at least 50 million. You hear all kinds of numbers. And, of course, the experts say, no, it's only like 10 million. Shut up. I mean, you hear all kinds of numbers that are coming in, that are influencing our states and our cities and our elections already. And then they're not. And then we have this whole thing about voter ID, where you just have to breathe and you can vote. They're not even asking for ID. How insane is it, Dave, out there? And how much does this rip you up, the voting situation out there? Because you're spearheading something right now about this, aren't you?
There's 1,000 illegals received driver's license by July of 2015. And out of those, DMV, you know, said that 1,500 were accidentally registered to vote. Now there's another study been done, and the number's more like 25,000 were accidentally registered to vote. So, I mean, every one of those votes steals one of ours.
And yet they say it doesn't happen.
You know, they lie when they need to. I mean, they lie to protect their own interests.
Well, and the question is, do we understand what their interest is? And I just said their interest is to get votes. that's what the whole play here is, that they're trying to clearly get from this. And because I always wondered early on, I never thought we'd get down the road this far, honestly, in full disclosure to everybody. I never really thought we'd be having these kinds of conversations where we're talking about, you know, socialist communists and people running for office and people with hijabs on in Congress. And I'm not a racist dude. I'm just a regular cat here, man. I've never been. I mean, but, you know, I kind of like the country the way it is. I don't want it to be transformed under Sharia law or for other countries to come in here. Like I said, assimilation is a beautiful thing, friends, when it works. But don't bring your crap with you, because we don't want your crap. Leave it back there where you came from. If you like your crap, stay where you are. Now, talk to me about that, Jules. I mean, come on. If these people are so in love with their culture and their life, stay where the hell you are. Don't come in America.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, but look, on the bright side, they want to come here because we have a beautiful country. I mean, come on, we're doing wonderful things. We're wonderful people. And we are compassionate and we are open and we are, you know, we do help each other. The thing about it is that there is no structure here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Congress has got to step in. It is a mess at our borders. You can see it. And there is no rhyme or reason to what they're doing other than votes. They're not working for the American people. Mm-hmm. And it's hurting us. It's hurting everyday Americans that get up, go to work, and pay their taxes. And it's got to stop. Right. We have to have somebody intercede on our behalf. Because right now, from where I'm sitting, it doesn't look like that's what's happening.
So, you just point out perfectly, Congress has got... But Jules, let's talk about why that's not happening. Congress, I mean, if we all, does anybody really think Congress is going to act on this? They haven't acted on this in the last many decades. I mean, this was a problem that should have been fixed when John Bonehead was speaker, as I said in the last program. This should have been fixed back when Gingrich was in here when they were trying stuff. This certainly should have been fixed when, you know, Doofus Ryan was in the speakership. Come on, Jules. And none of them have done anything. So
that's exactly right. But you know what? We're actually talking about it more now than we ever have. It has raised its ugly head.
So how do we force them to action, Jules? How do we force them to action? What do we got to do?
I believe we're being forced with what's happening now. I mean, over 100,000 apprehensions last month. Mm-hmm. We're being forced to act. Our system can't carry the load.
I think you skipped over a very important point. The problem isn't Democrat or Republican. I mean, you got big business Republicans opting for open borders, mm-hmm. because they want the free labor. Mm-hmm. No, and the problem is who we have elected to represent us. They're not representing us. They're representing big business. They're representing their own interests.
Yeah,
and until we take care of that problem,
yeah,
we don't have a chance. And especially here in California. Mm-hmm. Here in California, we have rhino Republicans sitting in the Cal GOP, making decisions for the GOP.
We are the reason we have the problem is what he's suggesting. You see, you hear that. We the people, you see, because we the people elect these clowns to office. So if you've got friends and neighbors and people, you know, that are part of that group of we the people who are not paying attention here, the only thing I can say is, you know, we got to do something about it. We got to educate these people. Now, that's a tall order, AM, but that's what, you know, we try to do.
Well, it's let's bring it down to even more of a base structure here. It's about power, and the power, the reason they want the votes, and they calling them the progressives, it's power, and the votes give them the power, the absolute power, which means they want to take and run and control this country without giving we the people a choice or a voice, just as they've done in California. So you take that and you expand it across the country. That's the goal. They want to rule this country without having to take a people's vote or choice. So what do we do about it? We can talk out loud about it, shout from the rooftops about it. We have to activate. We have to get boots on the ground. We can't assume that the government or our elected officials are the ones that are going to fix this. They're not, just based on exactly what you just said. They've been given every opportunity. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to fix it, they would. So we the people are the ones that need to flood the Capitol with mm-hmm. letters, not just sit and tweet in an echo chamber, but right. Get out, unite, form a coalition, do what Dave is doing, go to rallies, show that it's, we can't be intimidated. Conservatives are being intimidated because we're attacked across the board, physically, emotionally, and, you know, verbally. So we have to stand up and face the threat that they are throwing at us and unite, get out, get active, be involved.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
register voters, poll work, do whatever it takes.
I always say AM, it's the mantra I always use based on, to jump on what you're saying there, is get involved, get loud. I've used that for years. Mm-hmm. Get involved, get loud. That was always the mantra. That's a rallying call I've used for a long time now, because you have to get involved and get loud. You cannot stay on the sidelines. Think about it as a football game, people. Those are in the that are on the sidelines, they're not part of the game. They cannot impact the game. They cannot impact the score. They can't do anything because they're on the sidelines. It's the same thing here in real life. If you're on the sidelines, then you are a non-event. If that's how you want to live your life, as a non-event, then it's a sad state of affairs. So the point is, for those who have their head underneath the pillow, they need to turn the heat up and get out from underneath the pillow, and they need to be recognized. Now, there's nothing radical about this agenda. This is an agenda of people who love America. They love the Constitution. They love what this land is made of, again, from sea to shining sea. It's who we are as a people. You know, friends, you look back at the history of our nation, and there's nothing like it, and there'll never be anything like it. I said to you previously, I'm going to say it right now, there will never be another America. This is your one shot. There's not another one coming anytime soon, I guarantee you. This is it. So this is not a dress rehearsal, people. This is all we got. There's not another one coming. You can't just, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in this lifetime. It's not going to happen in the next 100 lifetimes. It's not happening. There's one America. That's called patriotism. It's a beautiful thing. Everything rides around that. Our entire existence. Again, as I say to you often, we're blessed. Number one, we're blessed that we're born and we're here today, but we're also blessed that we live in America. That's a second lottery you all won. That's the way I look at it. And a third lottery is, if you count the rest of the blessings in your life and take a moment, take a deep breath, and let's call them to action. Let's demand. Dave was right when he said, we got to get the right people in there. See, it's all about voting. You got to vote the right people. That's the way this whole thing works. That's how the Republic works, people. It's representative government. You got to vote the right people in. And then we got to force those people. They've got to legislate properly for the we, the people, not for the illegal trade. Sure, we can have compassion. America has given the money. We've done all the right things. America's got fabulous compassion. But that doesn't mean we can take the world's problems on every moment of the day. It's like any good old cup of coffee, friends. You keep pouring water into the coffee, and guess what the coffee's going to be? It's going to be milk, toast, nothing. It's the same thing we have here in America. I want you to think about all that today as you go about your business, and think about the risk and the dangers, how important this is. You know, you hear from folks at America Out Loud, you hear from educators, teachers, scientists, law enforcement officials, lieutenants, military heroes. I mean, these are real people on the front lines of America. It's all back, friends, at AmericaOutLoud.com. That's where we invite you back there. Big thank you here to Jules Jones, Deplorable Dave, AM, and all of our folks here today on the program. Friends, Viewpoint is a unique program, as a news magazine, always trying to highlight the viewpoints and bring in all the different perspectives. We welcome everybody here to the table of life. Our goal is to advance humanity, bar none. That's the ultimate goal here, friends. It's we the people. It's a job we've got to do here. Let's do it, friends. Contact us anytime at talk@AmericaOutLoud.com. Friends, we're wishing you a beautiful day. And as always, the Out Loud truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.